This is Nachyomi, Sefer Shemot El Bet, Chapter 10. Nahash, the king of Ammon, dies, and his son Hanun rules in his place. Hearing this news, David dispatches messengers to convey his condolences to the new king upon the death of his father. Apparently, David had been the beneficiary of some kindnesses, some favors from Nahash at an earlier point in his career, and he wanted to express his appreciation for them through this honor. However, the advisors of Hanun, the new king, perceived David's actions as some kind of a ruse, some kind of a trick, and they suggest that his real purpose is to spy out the land or to accomplish some other secret objective. Heeding the words of his advisors, Hanun humiliates the messengers of David by sending them back with their beards half shaved and the lower half of their garments cut off. When they return, David is disturbed to see what has happened, and he allows his men a waiting period before they go home so their beards can grow back. So obviously this was a very bad experience, and things backfired on David. The people of Ammon immediately realize that what Hanun has done is bound to provoke a response from David. Expecting to be attacked, they prepare for war. They join forces with the Arameans of Soba, the king of Ma'acha, the king of Tov, for four kingdoms joined together here for a combined force of tens of thousands of soldiers against Israel. Yoav and Avishai, the sons of Tzeruiah, who are among the top military men of David, are going to be in command of the army of Israel, but they had the problem that they were being approached on two different fronts. There were the Arameans on one side and the armies of Ammon on the other side. So they decided to split up the challenge. Yoav takes upon himself to direct the elite soldiers in their fight with Aram, who apparently were the more formidable of the two, while his brother Avishai led the battle against Ammon. They agreed to support one another, obviously, if the situation got worse for one or the other. The Arameans flee before Yoav, and when they see this, the army of Ammon, again indicating that they were weaker, abandon the battlefield as well. King Hadad-Ezer, ruler of the Arameans, makes one more attempt to call in troops from other places, troops with whom he has an alliance or troops that are under his command to attack the Jews. He was a very powerful king at the time, but this too fails and his top general is killed. In the aftermath of the war, the kings who served Hadad-Ezer all make peace with Israel, and the Arameans never make the mistake of coming to the aid of Ammon again. It is clear that the story of David sending messengers to honor Nahash and to offer consolation to his son, this type of kindness, doing kindness to honor someone who's passed away by doing something nice for the survivor is parallel to the previous chapter. In the previous chapter, we see that David wants to honor the memory of his friend Yonatan. He wants to honor his promise to him. He wants to show recognition of the kindnesses that Yonatan has done. So therefore, he takes care of Yonatan's son, Mephibosheth. So in our chapter, David is doing the same. He wants to show his thanks, his appreciation for the kindnesses of King Nahash, whatever they were. So he wants to do this by being kind, showing compassion to the son of Nahash. However, there are really two different ways of understanding how this little story fits into the bigger picture. One way of understanding it is that in sending messengers of consolation to Hanun, David was really doing the right thing. He was being consistent with his principles, as we've seen throughout his principle of consideration for others, justice, compassion. The problem was that the advisors of Hanun were wicked people. They viewed David's behavior through the lens of their own priorities and values, their own corrupt culture, and therefore they projected bad motives onto David. They simply couldn't understand what David was all about and the values that he exemplified in his conduct, and therefore they assumed that his real intentions were self-serving, as their own would be. The poetic justice then of the story is that their decision to humiliate the messengers of David, which was an indication of the corrupt norms and attitudes of their own society, created the friction between the kingdoms that ultimately leads to further military and political gains for the people of Israel and for losses for the people of Ammon. So in that way, we could see that David does the right thing, the people of Ammon do the wrong thing, and this leads the people of Ammon to lose further ground to David. That's one way of looking at it. The sages of the Talmud, however, have a different approach to the story. They see here a veiled criticism, or maybe not so veiled, of David for showing compassion to the nation of Ammon, which the Torah commands us not to befriend. The ensuing war, and we will see it, will be a war with far-reaching consequences. is a kind of punishment to David for being overly gracious to a wicked nation. We can now add to this, in retrospect, you know, having learned the book of Shmuel, that the from the beginning, that Nahash, although he had apparently been kind to David on a personal level, we don't know exactly what he did, but something maybe when he was on the run from Shaul, maybe Nahash helped him. Ammon, the nation, and Nahash in particular as a king, was a ruthless enemy of Israel. David, now king of Israel, should have set aside his personal debt of gratitude to Nahash and considered the national and political implications of his behavior. Remember that the very first war that King Shaul waged, the war that gained him his reputation and the support of the Jewish people, was a defensive battle in response to terrible threats from none other than Nahash, the king of Ammon, who is being mourned here. Undoubtedly, the memory of Nahash in the minds of the Jewish people was not a positive memory, and David may even have been perceived as, in a way, canceling out his kindnesses to the house of Shaul by showing brotherly love to Shaul's most famous enemy. For David to reach out in friendship to the family of such an evil opponent of his nation was viewed by the rabbis as a serious mistake for which David deserved to suffer some fallout and some consequences.